The first one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Reading at verse 1. And I might say that it's really nice to see so many children, so young people here tonight, the boys and the girls, to listen to the gospel. That's the most wonderful thing to see. Down our way, we're lacking in boys and girls and families. And so it's really good to see the boys and girls. Thanks very much for being with us. And for my part, I'll make sure that I'm done on good time, so you won't be late for school tomorrow. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And this is what I'm thinking today. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then there's one reading over in John's Gospel, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. And verse 16, John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that'll suffice for our reading tonight. You know, a number of years ago, there were some preachers that came to have some gospel meetings down in our area in a little place called Oxford, Nova Scotia. And one of the preachers that came for meetings, and he came many times over a number of years, there was a lot of us younger ones there then, we used to say concerning him that you would take down the clock and you put up the calendar. So he didn't know when to quit sometimes in the meetings at night. He might go for an hour after the first fellow was done, preach away, and then he would go forever. That was our thought anyway. Like 10, 12, 14 weeks sometimes, and preaching every night. And you know, when we were younger, we were there every night too. Amazing, but anyway. So anyway, I'm going to tell tonight how God saved me. I read today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And so we heard about receiving tonight, so I'm going to deliver, first of all, that which I also received. So I'm going to just tell a little bit anyway, how that God worked in my life and how that God saved me. I was born a number of years ago. My mom and dad were both saved when I was born, although we had never heard of the gospel hall, didn't know there was such a thing as the gospel hall. And we went to United Church and even sang in the choir a little bit when we were younger, like some of the boys and girls here. But one day into our community, and my mom and dad used to say that he and mom were spiritual twins. For one night, my dad kind of knew the gospel quite a bit through a man by the name of Perry Rockwood over the radio quite a bit, and Charles Fuller. But my mom never had no gospel background whatsoever, didn't know much about the Bible. But anyway, their marriage, after they were married, way up in northern Quebec, And one night, Dad on one side of the bed, Mom on the other side of the bed, that was when both of them got saved, that same night. So Dad said they were spiritual twins, and both got saved. Marriage, troubles, and all the rest of it. But anyway, I was the third of seven children born into that family. And when I was about 10 years of age, 1960, into our little community came two men, and they put up a tent, and they began to preach the gospel. And so my mom and dad went along to listen to their preaching. And when they heard their preaching, they were smitten with it. They liked the gospel, enjoying the gospel. It was Mr. Douglas Howard and Mr. Fred Holder. So they preached in that tent. And after those meetings were over, we began to attend the gospel hall in Oxford, Nova Scotia. And if there was gospel meetings on, within driving distance anyway, back in those days, then we were in the family, all loaded into the car and off to the gospel meeting every night, night after night after night. And I can remember, my dad was in the lumber woods at that time. We grew up in the lumber woods. And it was quite different back in those days. There wasn't very much money in the lumber woods. But I can remember my dad put in the last dollar he had to his name. Gas in the car, and you'd get a bit of gas back in those days for a couple bucks. And he'd put the last $2 bill he had in the car for gas that he would get his family to the gospel meetings. He said to us in different times as we were growing up, you know, he said, I can't save you. Told us as children, I can't save you. But he said, I can put you in the way, you know, in the way of the gospel, where you can hear it and have the opportunity of receiving it. And so that's the kind of family we were brought up in, although that didn't save us. And so the years went by, and series after series and meetings after meetings, and God worked, and some were getting saved. And of course, I knew there was something different. My mom and dad was different than my chums, mom and dad. I knew mom and dad had something that I didn't have, and that some of the parents of the boys that I grew up with, that they didn't have. My dad and mom were different. And I knew what they had was something that was real. It was something that was genuine. And I suppose if you'd have asked me back in those days, I would have said, if you'd have said to me, David, do you plan to be in heaven when you leave this world? And I would have said, oh, yes, I plan to be in heaven. I never even wouldn't entertain the thought that I wasn't going to be in heaven. And anyway, the years went by, and we went to meeting after meeting. I can remember the first smoke I had, and I can remember the first drink and all of that kind of stuff. In the lumber woods one summer, we were staying in the lumber camps. There was three or four of us there that were working in the woods. And an older gentleman that was in the lumber camps there, that was what we called back then chopping with the chainsaw. He was a chopper, and then we had horses back in those days, worked with horses in the woods. But I can remember working one day there when the fellow came out on the old truck, and he said, you better come back quick. Ainsley's been hurt. And that's the older gentleman that was in the lumber camp with us. And he would be the man that would bring in the booze and all the rest of it on the weekend to the lumber camps, to some of us younger fellows. Anyway, went back to where Ainsley was, and expecting maybe to be maybe cut a bit with a chainsaw or something. He's lying on the ground with his cap under his head, no hard hats in those days. Not a mark to be seen. But what actually had happened when he was falling one of the trees, a deadfall had come out of the one that was leaning, and it hit him right on the point of the head, right on the top. He had one red spot right there, and killed him instantly, just like that. And so went back out to the camp and got the old bed that he slept on, brought it in. We lugged him out of the woods, put him on the back of the truck, took him out of the woods about 4 or 5 miles, I guess, back in the woods. And I can remember standing there as his son called his son. My dad called his son to come, James. And when James came, when the son came, I can remember, just as plain tonight. He put his arms around his dad on the back of that old truck, and he was weeping to break his heart, crying to break his heart. You know what I thought as I stood there watching that scene? It was a solemn scene, a solemn day. That's really the first time I can remember of death. And that gripped me, really gripped me. You know what I thought? If that was you on the back of the truck, that would be your dad weeping to break his heart because I wasn't saved. I wasn't ready to die. I wasn't ready to leave this world. And I knew that my dad would be weeping if that had been me on the back of that truck. Well, that really never left me. That gripped my soul. You know, the Lord's coming, that's the reality. The Lord's coming back again. And that should stir an individual. But it was really death that gripped me. I'd seen it many times through some of the years. Anyway, as I get into teenage years and up a little bit, you know, we had a kind of a unwritten law at home that if I was going to get the car on the weekend, you know, you couldn't wait to get 16, although we were driving long before that, but when you're 16, you could feel a little more comfortable driving. And you couldn't wait to get 16 because you could go where you wanted to go and take in a lot of stuff that you had to walk to before or hitchhike. But there was kind of an unwritten law with my dad. We didn't put it on paper, but if I wanted the car on the weekend, I had to be at the gospel meeting on the Sunday night. And so, of course, we traded off on that one. So I'd come to the gospel meeting, and I'd sit right at the back of the hall in Oxford, Nova Scotia. And I used to like the singing. But once the singing was all over, then I'd put my head back and go to sleep. Then I'd go to sleep all through the preaching. Till one night, one of the preachers, and I can mention his name, Mr. Howard, who lived in Oxford at the time, I suppose he got so tired of looking at me back there. I don't think my mouth was open when I was sleeping at it then, but anyways, back there, sound asleep. One night, right out of the blue, he said, "David," he said, "wake up," in the meeting. How would you like that? Well, I woke up. All right. And then he sort of, you know, he sort of caught himself. Now I can see now looking back. He says, "It's for you that we're preaching." I can almost see now his heart, you know, as it spoke out, although I didn't see it that night. And I said to myself, "You'll never say that to me again. Never get that chance. Wake up." Well, I woke up. You know, all the way home after that meeting, my dad never said a word. You know, I guess he knew the air was kind of thin at that time and didn't know how things were going to go. Well, you know, when a person's pride is hurt, sometimes it's hard to deal with. And so I was determined that was it. That was it for me. And it was for some time, anyway, for a while, to my shame. But 1969, meetings came to Oxford, Nova Scotia. Again, Mr. Holder, Fred Holder, and another man. And I knew just as sure as those meetings were on that my mom and dad was going to ask me to come to the meetings. So I was all prepared. I had it all thought out of how I was going to work this out when they asked me, because I respected my mom and dad in more ways than one. My dad was a big man, so I respected him from that side of things as well, because I knew what could happen if it was so needed, although he wasn't like that. So anyway, of course, the meeting started, and they were on, and I was just waiting. I was just waiting for the invite. And so my dad said one night, how about a gospel meeting? Would you come to the gospel meeting? So I had the answer already. I said, "I'll go one night a week." Had it all figured out in my mind. One night a week. I said, "I'll go one night a week." "How's that, Dad?" I didn't say that, but I'd be afraid to say that in that tone to him. But I had it all worked out. So I did. It was on a Wednesday night. And I remember going, sitting in the meeting. But you know something? You know what happened on that Wednesday night as I sat in that meeting? That first gospel meeting of that series that I sat in. You know what happened? Before I left that meeting that night, right here, "David, this is your meeting. This is your time. You're going to do something with salvation in these meetings." Yeah, and that was just as clear as could be. This was my opportunity. And as I sat in that first gospel meeting of that series, and you know, wherever I went after that, whether it was on the weekend to the dances or all the other stuff, no matter where I went, it was always the weekends were spoiled. My weekends were spoiled because whatever I was doing, that's what's, "David, what about your soul salvation? This is your opportunity." I wonder if maybe someone here tonight, maybe we're speaking to someone here in Sarnia on this Wednesday night, because it was Wednesday night that God saved me, actually Wednesday morning, and it was a Wednesday night, the first meeting I came to in that series. Maybe there's someone here tonight in this meeting, and maybe in more than that, perhaps, this is your time. This is your opportunity. You know, when gospel meetings come to an area, I'm a firm believer that someone is getting a call for heaven. Or maybe more than someone. Someone's maybe. Getting a special call from God for heaven. This may be your opportunity. I hope you embrace it. I hope you lay hold upon it. Because it's an opportunity that is passing. And it may never come again. Anyway, after that night, you know what happened after that night? I started to come every night. Not that coming every night saves a person, but you know what it does? It puts you under the sound of the continual message of the gospel. You know, if I never came back, I know God can save outside. But, you know, it would show my side of things, what I thought about it. Anyway, I started coming every night. I just had to be at the meeting. Anyway, about a short time after that, I decided some of the people were staying behind to talk to the preacher. Mr. Holder was a great personal man on that side. And so they stayed behind to talk to some of the preachers, and some were getting saved. I think there was about 40 got saved in that series of meetings at that time, in those meetings. And so I decided one night I would stay behind, talk to the preacher. Had it all worked out, had it all figured out. Maybe there's someone here and you got it all figured out, how it's going to work for you, when you're going to get saved, how you're going to get saved, what series of meetings maybe, or what preacher is going to be preaching. So anyway, I decided I'd stay behind, talk to the preacher, and he would say whatever, the magic words, and I would get saved. So when it came the night I was going to stay behind, just as I was going out the door to shake hands with the preacher to say I'd like to speak with you, a little thought came into my mind. If you stay behind tonight, guess what people are going to say? You know what they're going to say? He must be thinking about getting saved. You know what? The very truth. The devil used the very truth against me because I was. You know, there was nothing more really that I wanted right then was than to be saved. It really was. I was honest. I was serious. So I went out the door, never said a word. Never let on. Anyway, the next night, I said to the preacher going out, I'd like to speak with you. I was hoping to get one preacher, the other preacher, but I got Mr. Holder, the one I didn't want. And I can remember yet, came up to the front, just like sitting here where these girls are. We come up and sat down there, and I'm waiting for the word. I'm waiting, listening for. So, and he takes a piece of paper out, and he begins to write on a piece of paper. But he asked me two questions. Two important questions. And I'm going to ask you those questions tonight. To the boys and girls here and to the older ones here, I'll ask you the questions. You know, the first question he said to me, Mr. Holder said to me, as he's writing, well, David, he said, would you like to be saved? I said to him after, why do you think I stayed behind? But I know what he was getting at. He said, David, would you like to be saved? So if someone asked you that, what would you say? If we asked you that tonight, would you like to be saved? So if we said that to the girls or to the boys or to the older persons, would you like to be saved? What would your answer be? Well, I can tell you my answer. I said, yes, sir, I would. And then he asked me another question. And this question makes a difference, a big difference. He said, when would you like to be saved? You know, that makes all the difference in the world. When would you like to be saved? I always wanted to be saved. If you'd have asked me that 10, 12 years before that, I'd have said, oh, I want to be saved, all right. You know, I don't want to leave this world without being saved. But when he asked me that question that night, when would you like to be saved? Because it makes a difference. I said, right now. Right now. And I meant it. And he's writing on the paper. You know what he did? He wrote a few verses down. He gave me the piece of paper and he said, and I think I was maybe the only one he ever did that to because he'd spend hours with an individual. Well, he said, take these verses and go home and read them over. And I didn't know what to say. I was waiting for him to tell me something, to say something. And you know, I thought I could be dead before I got home. You know, if we had a car accident or something. But I had to do what he told me. So I left the hall and we went home. So I began to read the verses over that he wrote on the paper. I read them over and I read them over and I read them over and I tried to see and I tried to look and I tried to believe and I tried to rest and I tried to trust and I tried everything that I could try. It wasn't working. And he didn't tell me anything. I thought he didn't even have much hope for me. So I fell asleep. Sometime through that night, I just fell asleep there on the little bed upstairs. I can still see it here in the mind's eye. Somewhere in that night, I fell asleep. I woke in the morning. Bible's still there, open, still dressed. I got the Bible down again, and I went over those verses. I read them and read them. You know what the thought came to my mind? When God wanted me, these past years. I didn't want him. And now I want him, and he doesn't want me. And you know what I thought? There was no salvation for me. Even the preacher didn't think I could get saved. And the thought went through my mind, I'll just have to go to hell. No other hope, no other recourse, no hope. And I closed my Bible. I can remember I closed my Bible, and I just kind of tossed it on the other end of the little bed. And I thought, no hope, no salvation. It was really a dark feeling, really was. I thought God had forsaken me. And you know what came into my mind? The second verse we read here tonight, and I see it's on the wall there. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And just like that, you know what happened? I appreciated, understood. God sent not his Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world as we were here, that he came into this world to condemn David. I just condemned myself. I just said, I'll just have to go to hell. I'd condemn myself, but the verse said, and it wasn't a verse Mr. Holder gave me. So it was a verse I'd learned in Sunday school or children's meetings or somewhere. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn David. That's me. But that David, through him, might be saved. That's just how it came to me on that Wednesday morning in that little upstairs bedroom. And just at that moment, I understood that when Christ died on the cross, that he died for a sinner like me. I didn't have to go to hell. I could go to heaven, ready for heaven. And that's, my friend, the simplicity of God's great wondrous salvation. I just drank it in. I received. We heard tonight about receiving. Do you know when you're given a gift, do you know when that gift becomes yours? When you receive it. Not when it's offered. God offered it. Christ offered it. Salvation. It became mine the moment that I received it. I took it. And you know, that's what you could do tonight in this meeting. Boys and girls, younger ones, older ones tonight. My friend, if not saved tonight, remember, time running out, opportunities passing, tonight could be your night. You could receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight. You could leave this meeting rejoicing in your sins forgiven. God grant you might. Now we'll pray.